I have the pleasure of sitting across from Nancy Pearl again. I can't
Lucky.
Tell you. I know. I can't tell you how happy I am to be back here with you, Nancy.
As I am happy to be back here with you. But I expected, since all these changes have gone on in the interim, that this room would be totally redecorated.
Yeah. No.
It's the same.
It's all the same, just different.
And you and I are the same, just different.
We are. We are the same. Nancy Pearl is a writer and a librarian. Oh, you're a writer.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got?
Yeah.
Like 10 books? Five. How many?
Seven and a half.
Seven and a half?
Yeah.
Wow, what? I'll have to check that out. And she's here today. I don't get to dawdle like I used to do with you, Nancy.
I know. Moving right along.
Nancy has been doing a lot of traveling, and she's been doing a lot of reading, so you have two books here that you've been thinking about. The Woman Who Lost Her Soul by Bob Shacochis.
You knew how to pronounce his name?
I interviewed him for the first book he wrote.
For the one on Haiti?
No, I guess I interviewed him with the second book.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe the book on Haiti was the second book. I'm not sure. Okay, so Bob Shacochis's The Woman Who Lost Her Soul is a big book. It's 600 pages. It's too bulky to lug around. But this is a book that both of these books I'm going to talk about today, I could not put down. They're totally different. One is fiction, one is nonfiction. But the stories in both of them and the characters in both of them were so riveting. And I think that The Woman Who Lost Her Soul, I have to say in all honesty, I think this is the great book of the first two decades of the 21st century.
Whoa, really?
This is an amazing, amazing novel. And it ranges from World War II to the War on Terror. And the characters are a hugely diverse group, a human rights lawyer, a young woman whose father comes to work for an NSA type agency, National Security Agency type agency, high up in the government, who kind of indoctrinates her into the whole intricacies of the spy world. And it's a book about love. It's a book about one of the characters is a Navy SEAL. Whose name is Eville, which, is pronounced evil. But this guy is just these characters, except for one, it's hard not to care about these characters. And one, I think you're set up not to care about. It's written in five distinct sections that all come together and interweave. The writing is absolutely wonderful, and it says all there is to say about the United States from that period.
He's well known, right, for his nonfiction, as you say, his work in Haiti. He wrote for Harper's. I remember reading some of his Harper's articles about Haiti in the 90s.
And this book has a good deal of it. Several of the sections are either wholly or partially set in Haiti. This is a book where the characters have just stuck with me. And it took him 10 years to write. I understand from in an interview I read with him that he was very sick during those 10 years. And really, there was some question about whether he was going to live. And so he decided he would write each section of the book so it could be published on its own, either as a novella or a long short story. And to bring them all together, it's an amazing book, and he was recently in Seattle. I was out of town. I would have liked to have just gone up and said how much I just think his book was terrific, and that it wasn't one of the National Book Award finalists this year.
It wasn't.
It was
even though
not,
you say it was one of the ten.
Certainly one of the couple of great novels of the early 21st century. I just don't understand, and I know that thinking about books, your feelings about books, it's all so personal, and my opinion doesn't predict anyone else's opinion, but still, it's hard for me to see it. And despite its 600 pages, it was. I mean, there are times in this book where it is painful to read it. I mean, it's a harrowing read in some parts, but we're used to harrowing reads. Carl Marlanti's Matterhorn was a harrowing read, and it was a wonderful book. So parts of it are harrowing. Maybe its size deterred I hope it won't deter people, because it's a thriller. In addition to everything else, it's a thriller.
Did you ever read Robert Stone's books?
Yes.
And just when you said that it's thick and dense with characters, right, and it's a thriller.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, is there a similarity there? Though not the greatest novel of the first two decades of the 21st
century. Well, Robert Stone hasn't written.
No, in a while.
In a while, I think.
Gate.
Was that his most recent
one? I think so.
I think there's a darkness in Stone's books that is in The Woman Who Lost Her Soul.
All right. That's cool. That you're so excited about. It's even more cool.
What about
5 Days at Memorial?
5 Days at Memorial by Sherry Fink. People who read the New York Times regularly or ProPublica probably have read parts of this in those.
I read her articles in the New York Times. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so this is about the 5 days of Hurricane Katrina at Memorial Hospital, where decisions had to be made about what to do with what the doctors and nurses believed were the sickest patients. As I said, this was a book I couldn't put down. I mean, we all probably have read a lot about Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. And I have a personal, I read everything about New Orleans now because my younger daughter's partner is from New Orleans. And Monique took part in, she lived through that hurricane. So I'm always very interested in that. But this is a book that I think is great for book groups because it raises so many issues. The first maybe three quarters, two thirds of the book is almost an hour-by-hour account of what life was like at Memorial Hospital when the hurricane hit. You know, whether the rescuers would come, how they would decide which patient should be evacuated first. So it's really an interesting question. Do you evacuate the people who have the best chance of surviving for whatever number of days, or do you evacuate the sickest, those who are very elderly and very sick? I mean, how do you decide that? And one of the things she points out is that very few hospitals have these emergency plans in place. So it's really on the spot decisions. And then the second, the last third of the book is the trial that Dr. Anna Powell, P-O-U, mm-hmm. Dr. Anna Powell and two nurses were on trial for basically administering morphine and two other drugs to these patients to help them die.
But Fink, the author,
yes,
she doesn't. This is reportage, right?
This is reportage. She does not know. And that's the beauty of it, is that she lays it all out for you. And you read the book and you're very, it's hard not to be sympathetic with everybody in the book, with the relatives of these very sick patients who are just frantic to try to find out what happened to them. And then reading about New Orleans and what went on and how no one knew what to do in the wake of this predictable natural flooding.
Somewhat
natural. right. But that, it had happened before. Yeah. And we didn't learn. And so this is a book that's great on its subject. I found it, I just found it riveting. But more than that, it raises all of these questions to talk about. And it's very easy to say, I suppose it would be very easy to say, oh, these people should go first, of course. But then when you start thinking about it and you start thinking about how our healthcare system is set up and who gets the new hearts and whether, it opens up so many issues. It's a wonderful, wonderful work of reportage.
Two great books for 2013 as we enter into this decade, right?
Yes.
All right. The Woman Who Lost Her Soul, Bob Shacochis. 5 Days at Memorial, Sherry Fink. Real quick on Alice Munro winning the Nobel Prize.
Fabulous choice. Alice Munro, I mean, I never even thought. It was came as a total shock to me. And then I thought, of course, Alice Munro is probably one of the absolute best writers, short story writers. She is amazing. And I was reading something that Laura Miller, who is a by way of being a friend of mine, but writes for Salon, tweeted today and said that she always thought that Alice Munro, she at one time thought Alice Munro had nothing to say to her and how wrong she was. The books that I would start with, the short story collections that I would start with, my two favorites are The Moons of Jupiter and Friend of My Youth, which are both from the late 80s, early 90s.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, so many short stories. And look at how many were nominated for awards over the years.
Yep. And I mean, for the Nobel, and, you know, the Nobel Committee cited her as being a master of the short story. And you know, when you think of other masters of the short story, like Chekhov, for example, and Alice Munro right there with them, it's fabulous.
Here's a scary thought, Nancy, as we end this. Marcy and I were both thinking, have either of us ever interviewed Alice Munro in all the 25 years? And I don't think we ever have.
I'm not sure she travels very much.
Wow. All right. Hey, I want to say this. You hear Nancy Pearl's book recommendations regularly on KUW, on Morning Edition. So we thought, do you need a new book in your life? So maybe Nancy can help. You call us at 206-221-3663. That's our listener feedback line, 206-221-3663. And tell us about the last book you loved and, you know, wax poetic about it. And then we'll see if Nancy can help you find your next great read. That's one of the ways we hope we'll engage you as you come back, because I'm glad. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too.
We'll do it
back.
Again.